The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think we've all come to a consensus. The debate's been settled. Michael Jordan is the greatest athlete of our time. But is it possible, maybe with a couple more years, a couple more championships, that Tom Brady could surpass him? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can answer that question at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, it's going to be a fun one. I'm excited to hang out with you over the next 3 hours. We've got our weekend homework. We've decided what we're going to watch this weekend. Nuno, Nemo, our supreme leader. He was last week's winner, so he picked the genre this week. And Nemo has selected spy movies. I'm excited to watch some spy movies, but I have a bad feeling about this category. I have a feeling my taste and everybody else on the show go separate ways. Plus, the NFL is considering a rule to set aside the onside kick, to move from the onside kick, which has about a 9%, 10% chance of being converted, into a 4th and 15 from your own 25. Mike Golic on Golic and Wingo this morning was talking about it's time to do away with the obsolete onside kick. Listen to this.
I think it's a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer to do this, because the just like we have talked about, the kickoff is kind of becoming extinct with the rules.
Right.
And I wish they changed that to what we just saw in the XFL, quite honestly.
Yep.
But we can get to that at a later date. The thing that's gone the most is the onside kick. Let's just get rid of it. It's useless right now.
It is somewhat useless. I don't have to defend the onside kick, nor even tell you this 4th and 15 idea wouldn't be very exciting, because it would be fun. To tell you, I'm not so sure we're ready for this. I'm not so sure this is a good idea. I'm going to explain to you why a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Could Tom Brady ever surpass Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time? That debate's been settled. Let's set aside the silly LeBron James conversations. It's Mike. It's Michael Jordan. He's the GOAT, and he's not just the GOAT of basketball, he's the GOAT of American team sports. Yesterday it was announced that ESPN, 1 year from now, is going to air a 9-part documentary series focused on Tom Brady's Super Bowl runs, his 6 championships, his 3 losses. It's entitled The Man in the Arena, Tom Brady. And he is playing on Teddy Roosevelt's great speech, his famous speech about it not being the critic who counts, but the man who's marred with dust and blood and failure, who knows, not like the timid souls who've never tasted victory nor defeat, rather he knows both because he is in the arena. That's a paraphrase, not a direct quote. But that's what he's calling on, and it's going to put Tom Brady in the spotlight. And many are saying, that sounds a lot like the Last Dance documentary. And asking the question, could Tom Brady, who's already got 6 championships to his name, rival Michael Jordan as the greatest team athlete of all time? Now, let me tell you a couple statements I've made over the last couple years that somehow, some way, have ended up somewhat controversial. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. There are others who believe somehow that it's still Joe Montana or somebody else, but no, it's settled. Montana was a great quarterback. He's one of the best of all time. Peyton Manning is a great quarterback. He's one of the best of all time, but it's settled. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, even if for some reason there's not universal agreement on that fact. Number 2, Tom Brady's the greatest football player of all time. Set aside position. I'm not going to just limit this to quarterback play. He's the greatest quarterback, the greatest football player of all time. You can talk to him about Lawrence Taylor. You can talk to him about Jim Brown. But 6 championships, 9 out of 18 Super Bowls, I believe it is. Tom Brady is the best football player. But that's where the bold statements stop. He's not the greatest team sport athlete of all time. Not yet. And I don't think there's anything he can do to claim that mantle. Michael Jordan is more than the greatest basketball player of all time. He's more than this indomitable spirit, this will to win. Michael Jordan is an icon. He is a cultural phenomenon. He's a brand. He's a sneaker. He's a clothing company. He was a poster. He was a Gatorade commercial. He was everything. He was pop culture through the 80s and 90s, and honestly, still part of pop culture. And he got that way. He became that icon because he was the greatest winner of all time. And he became a symbol then of will to win. He became something more, is what I'm getting at, than just an athlete. He became something more than just the greatest at what he does. He became, I don't mean to be sacrilegious about this, but almost like a demigod. Something in our culture that's more than just a man. He's a myth. And Tom Brady has not approached that. Look, nobody likes Tom Brady more than me, but that's just calling it balls and strikes. That's just being a realist. And even if he goes on to win a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't know, even if he goes on to win two, I don't think that will put him in that demigod status of Michael Jordan. Mike Greenberg on Get Up this morning said, yeah, you're factoring all that in. But if he does keep winning championships, this is closer than you think. Listen to this.
I think we're having two different conversations. I'm just talking about their accomplishments as players, as global figures. No one, Jordan is there with Ali. I understand that part of it. But as far as what they actually did in their sport, Brady is pretty close.
I don't know, Greeny. I hate to ever be outflanked on Tom Brady's support, but I don't know that it is that close. Brady's going to run away with best football player of all time. He's going to run away with best quarterback of all time. But he's not going to run next to Michael Jordan as greatest team sport athlete of all time. You can let me know what you think at 888-729-3776. The Dallas Cowboys this week did something that I think you don't have to be a Cowboy fan and you don't have to be even a football fan to appreciate. The Dallas Cowboys signed Aldon Smith, and this week it was announced he would be reinstated by the NFL. He's going to be on the super secret watch list, the heavy probation list. But if you remember, Aldon Smith was a guy who had numerous personal troubles back in the day. But boy, when he played, he was unstoppable. Almost 20 sacks in a season. Part of the famed 2011 draft class. That's J.J. Watt. That's Tyron Smith. That's the first five picks all being big-timers. Aldon Smith has a chance to come back into the NFL and recuperate his career, recuperate his reputation, and perhaps recuperate the Dallas Cowboys' defense. I think you only have to be a fan of second chances, even if they end up being third and fourth chances, to appreciate this story. It's not a Cowboys story. It might even be a football story. It's a story of redemption. And I think this story for Aldon Smith, at least I hope this story for Aldon Smith, has a happy ending. I don't want to write people off. That's not how I want to do this. I want to bring people back. Yeah, I know I'm a Cowboy fan, and yeah, I know I have a biased interest in this. But I've always been a believer, even when it comes to criminal justice. It's better to work people back into society than exile them. It's better to make them productive members of this world than to banish them. When people are punished, they serve their punishment, and then they come back. This Aldon Smith story is going to be a story, hopefully, of redemption. All you have to be is a fan of second chances to appreciate that. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. No contract, no compromise. Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott has been banging around the news cycle. People ask me, you're not even talking about this reported $175 million, Will. You're not talking about this $45 million last year request. You're not talking about Dak when everybody else is laughing at him. I swear, every time I talk about Dak, some people, stop. Will you please stop talking about Dak? And now, they want me to. So I will. Is Dak Prescott worth it? Is he one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Are these contract demands ridiculous? Or should the Cowboys pay Dak Prescott? That's coming up. Plus, what should we be nominating on spy movies for the homework this week? And let's start our big board. Let's start our brainstorming session. You call in 888-729-3776. Help us set the big board. What should we watch this weekend when it comes to spy movies? That's all coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Everybody's losing their minds on Dak Prescott. Maybe it's because we don't have anything else to talk about right now. Did he ask for $45 million in the fifth year? Did he turn down $175 million? Is Dak Kirk Cousins? Control yourself, gentlemen. Dak's worth it. He's going to get paid. And I'm going to tell you why. Two good reasons, and I'll give you even two reasons that there should be some concerns about Dak Prescott. That's right. Objectivity. Not just monopoly on the truth, but the monopoly on objectivity. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Missing basketball? Tune in Sunday night for an NBA Classic, Game 6 of the 2016 NBA Finals between the Cavs and the Warriors, presented by The Home Depot. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Before I lay out my case for Dak Prescott, let me hear you on whether or not Tom Brady can ever surpass Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time. Mikhail in South Dakota, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will, thanks for taking my call. Big fan, but I disagree with you on this one. I think he can. You know, he's been so much the Patriot way his whole career. We have no idea what's going to happen now.
And that makes you believe that he can pass Michael Jordan by leaving the Patriot way?
You
feel more confident?
Well, I do. And, you know, you made the reference that Michael Jordan was pop culture. He was a shoe brand. He was all over the place, which he was. But was Tom Brady ever given the same opportunities in being a Patriot? I mean, I know he had his endorsements and everything, but we have no idea what he's going to be like now. He might go out and just start having a lot of fun.
All right, I understand the argument. I appreciate the call, Mikhail. I get what you're saying about the Patriot way now. What you're saying is that's been holding him back from becoming a pop culture icon. What I would say in response to that is no football player, no matter how free, even Bo Jackson, who might have reached the heights of cultural significance when it comes to football, did arrive at the level that Michael Jordan did. Guy from Baltimore, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Cain, how are you doing? Tom Brady, great quarterback, greatest ever, no doubt, because he was able to do the wins that he had, he was able to do with players that he made great, whereas all of the other quarterbacks, they have Hall of Fame players beside him. But football and basketball are different. Michael Jordan is the greatest overall athlete that we've ever seen and ever will, because he's able to play every position needed to be played on the court and do it at a great level. No matter what, because of the nature of how football is played, Tom Brady is still a quarterback who has to pass the ball or hand it off to someone. And because of that, it doesn't matter how many victories Tom Brady has. He can't stand in the same light as Michael Jordan, which is what made him the pop icon. You mentioned Bo. Bo Jackson started to become that pop icon because he showed his overall athleticism by playing multiple sports. Tom Brady's not going to have that.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are two things that you're pointing to. First, there's the cultural reference that no matter what Tom Brady does, he's always going to have a helmet on his head. He's never going to have his face like Michael Jordan exposed for the entire nation to see. That's the nature of basketball versus the nature of football. Bottom line is he just can't become the same icon that Michael Jordan was. But it's not just about being an icon. It's also about, as you're pointing out, the influence on the field. One of five versus one of 11. That's a simple effect. And the truth is, It's more than one of 11 because it's offense and defense. Michael Jordan is affecting every single outcome of that game. I swear, there's no bigger Tom Brady defender than I. But I don't think there's anything he can do to catch Michael Jordan. You can let me know what you think. 888-729-3776. There have been reports over the last couple of days that Dak Prescott turned down $175 million from the Dallas Cowboys. There are also some reports that have been debunked that he asked for a fifth year at $45 million. What Todd Archer, ESPN's NFL reporter, told us this morning on GetUp was the number is more like $35 million a year. Listen.
Yeah, Greeny, whenever they make this deal, if they get this deal, the numbers will be huge. But from what I've been told, they're not at $35 million a year just yet. For story we have this morning up on ESPN.com, that the Cowboys' most recent offer is a tad under what Russell Wilson makes per year, $35 million, and a guarantee that puts him on par with Jared Goff's $110 million from the Rams. But it's the structure of the deal that we don't know, and none of us do, what's fully guaranteed, how it's paid out. But a quick history lesson here with the Cowboys, and the last time that they did one of these mega deals was in 2013 with Tony Romo. 6 years, $118 million, and Romo couldn't be franchise tagged. He could have waited. Instead, he got a guarantee of $55 million and an $18.1 million average. The guarantee was the second most among quarterbacks. Now, in fairness to Prescott, Romo was working off a $67 million contract, and Prescott made about $4 million on his rookie deal. So yeah, a little bit of a difference there for those two guys.
$35 million a year is the number right now, but it's not the number that matters. The number is 4 versus 5. The Cowboys want to get a 5-year deal out of Dak Prescott, and he wants a 4-year deal. And why wouldn't he? Carson Wentz got a 4-year deal. Jared Goff got a 4-year deal. Aaron Rodgers got a 4-year deal. Russell Wilson got a 4-year deal. 4-year deals are what quarterbacks are signing in the NFL right now. And Dak Prescott's not making any extreme demand by asking for the same. What more? He deserves it. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's the way it is. Up on ESPN.com right now, there's 2 cases for Dak and 2 against him, and I think they're all legitimate. First of all, the 2 for Dak. Does the team center around Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott? Well, the statistics show that when Ezekiel Elliott is off the field, Dak Prescott is even better. In empty sets with no running back on the field, Dak Prescott's the 4th best quarterback in the NFL. Number 2, is he just a product of that great offensive line, that talent around him? Well, statistics show when Dak Prescott is under pressure, he's the 7th best quarterback in the NFL. What about the argument that Dak doesn't ever win against big teams? This is number 3, and this is an argument against Dak Prescott, and it has some merit. Dak has not been as good against good teams as he has been against bad teams. His record, his QBR, his touchdown to interceptions all have been worse against teams who have 10 or more wins by the end of the season. But that's not the guy that I have seen throughout his career. I have seen a guy who steps up when the time comes. His rookie year, he went to the Lambeau Field and played the Green Bay Packers and beat Aaron Rodgers. His rookie year, he took on Ben Roethlisberger and outplayed him in a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. His rookie year in the playoffs, he went head-to-head with Aaron Rodgers. And while he took a loss, his passer rating was 103, Rodgers was 96. And those aren't the only occasions he's beaten Drew Brees. He's absolutely whooped up on Carson Wentz throughout his career. In his 3rd year, he went back to the playoffs. And who did he beat in the playoffs? He beat Russell Wilson. Dak Prescott has showed in a big game, against the best quarterbacks, he steps up. He can step up, and that's the quarterback I believe that he is. A top quarterback in this league, and one that should be paid as such. What more, one I believe will get paid as such. I'm going to ask our GM, ESPN front office insider Mike Tannenbaum, what he thinks the deal will be eventually. Plus, I'm going to ask him, what's the potential trade market for Jet safety Jamal Adams? Because the rumors are back out that Jamal Adams is on the trade block. That's all coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Let's set the big board. What spy movies should we consider drafting in the third hour of the Will Cain Show for our weekend homework? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. On our phone lines is ESPN's NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
I'm good. Let me run the contract parameters by you for one moment. I think it's mostly because we don't have a whole lot to talk about, but Dak Prescott remains at the forefront of our conversation. Whatever the numbers are, $35 million, $175 total, it would seem to me, Mike, that what this is about is the length of the deal. And if it is truly about 4 years versus 5 years, I think Dak Prescott has a good reason to dig his heels in. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, they've all signed four-year deals. I don't know who the Cowboys are pointing to say, you know what we really need here, Dak, is a five-year deal. Seems to me like Dak is the one asking for something very reasonable here, Mike.
Well, I think you're right, Will, but from a team perspective, if we're going to invest so much in you and you're going to be the face of our franchise and our starting quarterback, we want to go as long as possible, give you generational security, which you have rightfully earned through your play and your exemplary behavior off the field. So I want to construct a win-win if I'm the team, and I want to get as long of a contract as possible. But candidly, Will, I think your points are really well taken, and every single day this goes by, more and more leverage goes to the Dak side because it's the Kirk Cousins play. If he makes it to next year, he plays for $37.5 million, and then he walks out the door in 2022 when he'll be 27, turning 28 years old, and he would be – we'll really find out how much he's worth at that point.
What do you think of the rumors? Your old organization, the New York Jets, are going to have to once again consider trading Jamal Adams. It seems to come up every 3 to 4 weeks. It's all sitting around, can they get a long-term deal with him? And if they think they can't, well, then the rumors pop back up that Jamal Adams might be traded. Most of the time, by the way, it's connected to the Dallas Cowboys. Do you think this is truly where the Jets are, considering a trade of Jamal Adams? And if so, Mike, what's he worth?
Yeah, this one's a lot tougher for me because he is a great player. And I know when we were at Miami together, Adam Gase thinks the world of Jamal Adams as a player. He's a really good player. He creates energy. But he has multiple years left. He's under contract this year. They already exercised their fifth-year option and could franchise him the year after. Really what this is all about, this is Zeke Elliott from a year ago when Jerry Jones rewarded Zeke holding out and going to Cabo. So I think this is a lot harder. If they wind up trading him, I think he's worth maybe a one and maybe a two. I think he's that good. I think he's their best player. And this is a really tough situation if you're the Jets because you don't want to reward a player with so many years left on his contract. But on the other hand, if you were just drafting the Jets as football players, Will, I would think he's number one on most teams' boards.
Mike, I'm a Cowboy fan. I have a Jets fan on the show. And what's funny is we've played around with this Jamal Adams trade idea several times. And I will grant, this is just two fans talking about this. But I find we get to an impasse. So it goes like this. I think at one point in the last month, I offered to my friend Mike A., who works on this show, I said, what if I give you Michael Gallup and a number one? And I was just spitballing. I didn't agree to it. He said no, and I said, that's good, because I don't want to offer that anyway. Michael Gallup is too good. Now there's reports that it could be a one and a three, and neither of us can come to an agreement again. The point I'm getting at is, maybe it's just among fans, but there isn't a easy compromise on the value of even a great safety. And I wonder if it's the same way in the league. Like, he's incredibly important to the Jets, but is he worth all this draft capital to somebody else out there? And to me, that comes back to the position he plays, not the player himself.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. He is a hard player to define from a standpoint. If we were building a team, Will, you know, it would be pass rushers, corners, obviously quarterback. He does have production, 12 career sacks. He does turn the ball over, but I think that's fair. he is somebody that's hard to put a value on. And like one in Gallup is interesting. That's an interesting conversation starter. If I was the Jets, I would insist on DeMarcus Lawrence because I'd want a pressure player in return and probably something else because, you know, Adams arguably has been a more consistent player than Lawrence. If we were having this conversation before the draft, I probably would ask for Tyron Smith, but obviously with Mekhi Becton, that's probably not necessary. But it's going to be a young pressure player or somebody that could score touchdowns and a little bit more. But it's a hard deal to get done.
Yeah, because I don't think I would do those deals with you, Mike. Just saying, if I was the GM and it was Tyron Smith or DeMarcus Lawrence for a safety, no. The value of a defensive end and offensive tackle is way, way, way too high. And I think Michael Gallup is potentially turning into a number one wide receiver before our eyes. So I think I would do the deal at a 1 and a 3 next year. But I'm not probably going to give you a proven player at this point for a guy that I'm going to have to pay really soon that plays the position of safety. But, I mean, hey, what do I know? You're the guy who was a GM. That would have been my response on that call. Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. Mike, what do you think of the NFL's potential rule proposal change for do away with the offsides kick and go potentially to 4th and 15, one down, I believe it's from your own 25-yard line, to try to keep the ball? What do you like? What do you think about this idea?
Yeah, well, I like it a lot. Just from a fan perspective, I think it just keeps the game alive a little bit longer. 2 years ago, rightfully so, the league changed the onside kick rules really for player safety, and it went from about 19 down to 10% in terms of recovery. So basically, when you get down multiple scores with 5 minutes to go, it's virtually impossible to extend the game, even if you score. So I think from this standpoint, wouldn't we all like to see – if you're going to go down, at least the best player, one of the best players on your team, in theory, should be your quarterback. So if you're Dallas and you're down 2 scores, you score. Would you rather have the ball in Dak Prescott's hand and see what happened than some, you know, onside kick that has virtually no chance? So it's probably the last desperate play because if you don't convert, the other team has at least a field goal by defending that play and in all likelihood ending the game. But I'd rather see if I'm going to go down, I want the ball in my quarterback's hands and at least having a chance to convert.
All right, last one. The NFL's doing away with the review of pass interference, but they're talking about now implementing a sky judge, I guess an omnipotent video camera in the sky that feeds into a booth with an official in the booth. I'm not 100% sure, Mike, on how the logistics of that's going to work out. Is he capable of calling it in real time? Obviously, he would have to be. What do you think of this idea that they're considering?
I think at the end of the day, we got to get it right. And I think what Sean Payton said about last year's rule, which was, look, we knew it was going to be a tough transition about being able to challenge and seeing somebody at the league office either throw the flag or pick it up. But it's coming one way or the other. Technology is getting too good, too fast. So I think some manifestation is coming either this year or next year. And I think if we start with some sort of review process in the stadium, I think that's probably the next step in the conversation. I'd be all for it to see it in the preseason, try to work out the kinks. So it's something that really needs to be addressed. Obviously, this is all born out of what happened a couple of years ago between the Rams and the Saints in the playoff game. But the technology is there, and I think it's going to help our game.
All right, ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. Mike, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks, Will. You too, my friend.
Okay, take care. Coming up, let's do it. Let's set our big board. We got homework this weekend. Best spy movie. We'll draft in the third hour. Let's see what the big board of potential draft movies will look like. 888-729-3776. Best spy movies coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Let's say you're a big-time college football player anywhere in the country, but you're also super into getting a big-time degree. You're smart. Want to make sure you come out of this with a fancy diploma. Where do you go? Is Stanford a no-brainer? No doubt? No other option choice? Or do you debate Stanford against what? Vanderbilt? Duke? Who's recruiting against Stanford? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. You missing baseball? Tune in tomorrow night for a Major League Baseball Classic, Game 5 of the 2017 World Series between the Astros and Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. David Shaw, the head coach of the Stanford Cardinal, thinks they have no peers. I'll let you hear that. Plus, you can tell me who are they recruiting against. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show. But our weekend homework, as chosen by Nemo, is spy movies. Nuno won last week's genres, last week's category of road trip movies with Dumb and Dumber. And that allowed him this week to pick the genre. We worried about it. We didn't know what he was going to do. It was some conversation about cult movies, 80s icon movies, D movies that begin with the letter D was on the table, I think, at one point. But he chose spy movies. And I think everybody, I'm excited. I'm excited to watch spy movies this weekend, but I don't feel good about my ability to win this category, Nuno. We got everybody here, Mike A, Bubba, Pat, everybody's in the room. Yep.
Well, Mike A's not here, but we know with he has the first pick, we kind of know where he's leaning to.
So. What's he going to go with? I don't know.
I think he's probably going to go to with a Bond movie.
I am so not looking forward to this category.
Why, Pat?
I hate spy movies.
Okay, real quick with Pat, since we like making fun of him, I got this tweet on, I got this tweet from a listener, and they said, there are two movies for Pat in the spy collection. Two have The Rock in them, Central Intelligence and Get Smart.
There you go, Pat.
Get pumped for Central Intelligence. It'll be great.
Why do you hate spy movies, Pat?
It's really just Bond movies. I just don't get it. I don't get the hype.
Okay, listen to me. Hear me out, Pat. I'm not head over heels for Bond movies either. Now, there are some that have stood out. But, like, the franchise as a whole, I'm not like, yay, Bond movies. Here's my thing about spy movies, and this is why I think I'm not going to win. I'm not signing up for 2 hours of nonstop action. Like, there's plenty of action movies that don't involve spies. A spy movie, what sets it apart is the intrigue. It's the tension, right? It's the suspense. And for me, it's even better if it's a real-life story. And I think you guys are going to hate that. That's my fear.
No, I enjoy that because that's actually some reality to it, right? Or making it some sort of...
Like, did you see Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy?
No, but it's on when I've done a lot of research, it's high on the list.
Yes, I liked it. How about Munich? Did you see Munich?
Probably not.
That's a no, I think. I'm not sure. Zero Dark Thirty, you saw that, for
yes,
sure.
Correct.
Right. These aren't true stories now. Syriana, Bridge of Spies. See, those are the kind of ones I like, as opposed to, you know, I don't know, Casino Royale, which I'm not saying is a bad movie. Even Bourne. I love the Bourne movies, but that's just action, action upon action, right? That's what it's about. So what goes on the big
board? I think the police are coming for Bubba.
Whoops.
What'd you do?
Nope, they're gone. I avoided
internet viewing habits?
We're safe.
All right, so looking at some of the suggestions we've had on Twitter, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Chris Metal says Red should be on this list.
Okay, I'll put Red on.
Jeff says gotta have Spies Like Us.
I love Spies Like Us back in the day. I would be worried that it doesn't hold up. It's 85. How about Argo? That's another true story. That's a good one. What about Eric and Irvine? That's not a movie, that's a dude. Eric, you have a suggestion for us?
Yeah, I do. 3 Days of the Condor.
Pat, that's an old school one. Are you ready for that?
You got to watch it. You have to watch it. You can't, like, it's not an action movie. It is a spy movie.
Exactly.
I could get behind that.
Did you see it, Pat?
No. I've never seen that.
What about John in California? What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Will? I'm thinking No Way Out with Kevin Costner and Sean Young.
Never saw it. Don't even know who Sean Young is. No Way Out.
Is Imitation Game a spy movie?
I don't know that movie.
It was with Benedict Cumberbatch where he's breaking the Enigma code and stuff like that.
Oh.
Is that a spy movie?
No. No, I don't think that would count. You got to like be undercover, don't you? In a spy movie, kind of?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's a code-breaking movie.
Yeah, you're probably
right. I don't know if Charlie Wilson's War would count. I mean, it had a spy in it, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character. What are you going to go with, Bubba? Are you going to go? You going to go with an animated feature?
This is a tough one. Also, Sean Young is a female, and she was Einhorn and Finkel in Ace Ventura.
Oh,
so
okay.
There's that. Yeah, this is probably the most difficult category for me since the stand-ups. So I don't know. I'm still thinking through.
Spy Game, Brad Pitt, Robert Redford, Bob in Massachusetts. Help me out, Bob.
How about Salt with Angelina Jolie from 2010?
Never saw it. Never saw it. Salt. Writing it down.
Have any of the Mission Impossibles?
See, now that's a little bit... Do you like those, Pat? Because if you don't like Bond... Like, the Mission Impossibles are all just action. They're just pure action.
No, but they have to go on the big board, at least.
Okay, all right. Speaking of Angelina Jolie, by the way, did you ever see The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon? They like that. That's about the spy agency. We're coming up, David Shaw on... Does anybody recruit against Stanford when it comes to big-time football and big-time academics? It's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.